Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. Let's begin by turning in our hymnals to number 669, and we'll sing Make Me a Servant. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this hour that we can gather together as your children to worship and praise your name and to focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose story we tell here every week. Father, we thank you that though we were sinners, lost and condemned, and rightfully so because of our sin, you sent the Lord Jesus to come to become like one of us, to become a human being while still remaining God, and to then die in our place and to pay the penalty in full for every sin that we have ever committed or will commit. He paid that penalty at the cross once for all time, rose again from the dead, proving that the sacrifice was accepted. He rose as the firstborn, as the first fruits, that we will follow in his path when we are raised, either after we have passed from this life and when the rapture occurs, or right from this planet. And then those who went before, we will not precede them. They will have a split second before us, and we all rise together to meet the Lord in the air. Father, what a glorious victory. And all of this is by a gift from your hand, not through things we have earned, not through our righteousness, not through our good deeds. We can never do enough to pay the penalty for sin. There is only one way that they can be washed away, and that is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you that he shed that blood, rose again, is seated at your right hand, and is coming back soon. Father, we love to tell the story, and we want to see so many more people come to faith in Christ, to trust in him alone. That's what you say is required of us, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved. And so we pray that in this hour, those of us who know you would be encouraged in the truth, in the story of Jesus, and what you have laid on the pastor's heart to bring today. We pray that we will have open hearts to hear and receive it. Minister and move in us. Accomplish your purpose in us. May we be encouraged and challenged, whatever each of us needs today, that we can leave this place changed people, glorifying you more, knowing you better, closer to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and ready to go out into a new week, to worship and serve you, and to minister your gospel to others. We commit the hour to you, praise you for it again, and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's read Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse number 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come before you with our prayers and petitions. We want to praise your holy name for all you are and for all that you mean to us. We love the story of Jesus and all that he did when he was here upon the earth. And we know that he is still here with us today by his Holy Spirit, living in the life of each and every one of his children. And we pray that we might truly walk in fellowship with you, Lord, and with one another. We're talking about love, and Lord, we certainly need to love you. You've done so much for us. You've been so good to us. And we just pray that you'll continue to help us and lead us and guide us in all that we do, that we would be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that you send our way. We thank you for supplying all of our needs, and pray that you'll help us to love one another and serve you together. We pray for those who have special needs today. We know there's all kinds of concerns, some that are sick, some that are having other difficulties, some that need to make certain decisions that will affect the rest of their lives. We just commit them all to you and pray your holy will be done in all these things. Thank you so much for every good and perfect gift that we have in Christ. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful word, and pray that we might use it for your glory and walk according to it and be faithful. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I did want to mention, too, we just had the bathroom redone over at the park. All right, let's see here. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 1 again, here in verse beginning at 14. You know, the Gospels speak of Jesus in different ways. Mark presents him here as the Son of Man, the perfect one, the servant above all else. He's the servant of God in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Luke, that we've been looking at lately, presents him as the perfect man, the Son of Man that came to be one of us and to show to us who God is and what he needs from us, what he wants from us. So the Gospel of Mark here presents Jesus as the servant of God. It's thought that Mark was writing primarily to the Roman people, so he had to explain a lot of things that the Jewish people already knew. So it's different than perhaps the Gospel of Matthew, where he talks more to the Jewish people. So anyway, we find just as, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. It's a key verse that we have here in the Gospel of Mark. So in the scripture we're looking at today, we see Jesus beginning his life of service. You know, from Christmas time, we had the birth of Jesus, and from then we've looked a little bit further down the road, and here he is beginning his ministry in preaching the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, as he speaks of here, as he came to be the king of the Jews especially. So he's beginning his life of service. He's baptized. He receives the Holy Spirit. He's working in the power of the Holy Spirit and faced the temptation of Satan in the wilderness. And now he's beginning the ministry. So in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he sets out to boldly proclaim the message and demonstrate his authority as Lord over all. I noticed several times in the passage we read this morning, it speaks that he spoke with authority. And he says in one place, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So you go forth and proclaim the word of God. This is what he's saying. We find here, it says, after that John was put in prison. So John had been arrested. He was the forerunner for Jesus. Jesus comes to Galilee and begins preaching the same message that John had been preaching. It says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So here he's expressing this, the time. John was put in prison. It tells us it was about a year before this, actually, when he was imprisoned and then, of course, was beheaded. So John is gone now, and Jesus is taking up the same ministry that he had done. Now Jesus comes preaching this message. The time is fulfilled. Now is the day of salvation. You know, that's something to think of. We need to realize what the time is, right? Here Jesus understood this was the time when he was going to be active in the ministry. Up until this time, he had been at home a faithful person. We don't know much about his life growing up. Just a few scattered words here and there. But now he's beginning in earnest the work that the Father has given him to do. So he's coming in preaching and telling the people what they need to do, those that he's ministering to, preaching the word of God to them. He says, first of all, you need to repent. To repent. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind and heart, right? We need to change our mind about sin and about unbelief, that we are faulty in the sight of God, and we need to realize that. Come to the place to where we realize that we are lost and we need to have a Savior. And that's what he's saying here. Repent of your sin and unbelief. Luke chapter 13 and verse 1 says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, sometimes we wonder, when something bad happens to somebody, why did it happen to them? You know, What is it about that? You know, she's such a good person, right? And has all these problems and all this. But you know, that's life, isn't it? We all have to face it, and we all have to look to the Lord for whatever is coming. He leads us through various stages, doesn't he? And sometimes everything seems to go well. Other times it doesn't. And he says for us, what we need to do is to realize that we cannot do it anything ourselves. We need to look to him for the need. And that's what he's saying here. You know, a person who is a sinner, whoever he may be, needs to change his way of thinking. You know, most people, I think, have the idea that they're okay the way they are. You know, they had a book out, a psychology book or something a while back. I'm okay, you're okay, right? We're all great. But that's not true, is it? No. We all have our difficulties. We all have our sins. And we need to realize that and say, Lord, I cannot make it on my own. You know? And repentance. That's what it's all about. The Paul says over in Acts 20, he says he preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The word translated repentance is metanoia, which means to change one's mind. Man's great need is to understand God's way of salvation and accept his sacrifice. You see, it's not a work or anything. It's just a realization that you cannot make it on your own. We are lost sinners, and if we continue on, we're going to die in our sins and end up in hell. But no, Jesus came and took our sins upon himself that we might believe in him and have eternal life. So, this is what it means, simply to have a realization that that's the case and to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's believe the gospel. Of course, the gospel, what is the gospel? We know that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have it spelled out for us, and a very familiar scripture. In verse 1 of chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Here it is. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Do people believe in vain? What do you think? Do they, you know, sometimes maybe we don't quite understand what it's saying. He says, here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then he was seen by a whole bunch of people. 500 people at one time, they said. There's no question about the fact that Jesus arose. Do we believe that? He died on the cross in my place. He was buried and he arose again the third day. If we believe that, he says, we have eternal life. That's what it's all about. But then the next thing he wants us to do is to serve him, right? And here's the story where Jesus comes in contact with Peter and Andrew first, and then with James and John. And he calls them to a life of service. What does he say? It says in verse 17, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. There we go. That's like the, we saw the movie on Friday night, play the flute. The idea was to proclaim the gospel. He was telling these young people, do you either have to be one who plays the flute or you have to listen to what is being played, right? If you're one or the other, if you're going to be a servant, if he's your Lord and your Savior, then you need to follow him. Look with me. You know, this was not the first time Jesus had met these men. In John chapter 1, we find that they had already become acquainted before, but here he's taking them now into his service. In John chapter 1 and verse 35, here we are. It says, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. So here we have the disciples coming to know Jesus and to follow him. That's what he says. This is what service is all about, isn't it? You come to know Jesus first, and then you follow him. And this is what it's all about. Follow me. Come and see, he says, very simply. And then, of course, it says here, Andrew found his brother Simon, and he said, we have found the Messiah, who is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The next day he finds Philip and he says to him, follow me. See, Jesus is getting together his band of followers, his disciples, his apostles. It all starts out by who he is and following him. That's what it's all about. And that's what they are doing here in proclaiming the gospel. At this time, they didn't fully understand everything. Definitely not. Just like when we first get saved, we don't understand everything, do we? I don't think. Or do you? Maybe you did. But I certainly didn't. Anyway, we find here this call to service. And he wants us to be fishers of men. Now I know the apostles, the original apostles, had a different mission at that time. They were looking forward to the kingdom of God and all that. Today, we're in a different time period, and we are following the Lord Jesus in proclaiming the gospel that I mentioned a while ago. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and that we need to receive him as our Savior. They became fishers of men. Now here, these men, they were fishermen, right? And they laid aside all of their fishing equipment and they went and literally followed Jesus, you know, and went wherever he went and learned all that they needed to know and then were able to go out and reach others with the message of salvation. So here, Simon and Andrew and John and James. I have a reference here in Luke 5. Let's look at that. Luke 5 and verse 10. Luke 5:10. Here he's talking about James and John, who they were. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now that's real dedication where they do that. You know, many times this is what happens. pastors and missionaries, people God calls into the ministry, and then they have to go leave their former occupation and go and serve him. So that's what happened here with these men. It says that they were partners with Simon. So it's interesting to see that all these fishermen there along the lake, they were working together. They had a business going, and no doubt it must have been prosperous. But they forsook everything to follow after the Lord Jesus. Now, we come here in our story, and we see down in verse 21, Jesus went down to Capernaum. You remember before, last week we talked about he was at Nazareth, and the people there rejected him. They wanted to kill him, so he moved. That was a wise move, wasn't it? What do you think? He moved down to Capernaum and set up shop there and made that his headquarters. And so it says in verse 21, they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, the day that they worshipped, he entered into the synagogue and taught. So Jesus is there teaching in the synagogue. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not like the scribes. Jesus was different. Boy, that's putting it mildly, isn't it? He was different. He had the authority of God upon him, and not like the ordinary scribes. Now he tells a story about this man. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. He said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? What are you doing?" He's saying, you know, leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. You know? So what did Jesus do? He spoke to the demon. And he says, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Yeah? Shut up! That's what he told him. Be quiet and come out of him. And he did. And then the man, of course, was healed, was cured. He no longer had the demon. And it doesn't say what happened to him, but you can imagine. He was set free from all this. And on, as we go through the life of Jesus, we see this happens many times, doesn't it? He's cast out the demons out of the people and sets them free from all these things. He can deliver people from the unclean spirits. Now today, I don't know how many people have demons and don't. I'm not going to look under every tree and bush, try to find where they are or anything like that. You know, the Lord will take care of all that. But Jesus is able to set us free from whatever we're bothered by, addictions or frustrations and strife and all these things, if we'll only allow him to do it, right? How do you allow Jesus to work in your life? What do you do? Believe. Yield yourself to him, right? And allow him to take control. He is not only our Savior, he is our Lord. He's the master, right? And we need to yield ourselves to him. He's given us his Holy Spirit, who guides us and directs us through life. And here we find that he's able to set us free from any kind of demon or frustration or sin or whatever it is that might be bothering us. So this man was set free. Jesus delivered him from his tormentor, actually. Many times we read how the demons would terrorize these various victims. Now this man, I don't know what his problem was. It says it was an unclean spirit. So certainly something that you should not have. The evil spirits recognized Jesus. Did you see that? They knew exactly who he was. He said, "The Holy One of God." They knew who he was. And so they are able to, he's able to work in their, in this man's life and set him free. He rebuked the spirit, cast him out. The people said, we're all amazed. You know, can you imagine coming to church one Sunday morning and all of a sudden somebody, you know, says, okay, be cast out. And this guy, you know, he's completely healed, and you see something extraordinary happen. That's what happened back then. These people, I'm sure, were very good conservative Jewish people. Went to synagogue every Sunday. And this man here, he went along with them. But he had a special need. This demon had possessed him, and now Jesus set him free. It's wonderful what he is able to do for us. And it said Jesus was exalted. Notice verse 28, it says, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Yeah? The word's getting around. Hey, and everybody comes together wanting to have their needs met. That happens so often. They want to follow Jesus as long as he's meeting all their needs. But what happens when, you know, you have some problem that you can't resolve? Where is Jesus? Sometimes we might be tempted, you know, and people do. Oh, why did God let that happen to me? Yet we have to take it as it comes and continue to look to him for the need. But here Jesus, his fame is spreading abroad. Then this last little bit we have here in verse 29, it says, when they were come out of the synagogue, they went to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, so Simon and Andrew had a home there in Capernaum, and I believe, I can't back it up too much, but I believe that's where Jesus must have lived when he was in Capernaum, because he said he didn't have a house, right? He didn't have a home of his own, so he was he probably stayed in the home of Simon and Andrew. Okay, so they all of them go home for lunch. And Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. She's under the weather. She's got this problem. It's something quite serious, apparently. And so they told Jesus about this. And what did he do? It says that he came and he took her by the hand. He lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. Okay? So here we have it. Very simple. No fanfare, you know. They didn't have to have anything fancy or anything else. Jesus just took her by the hand, lifted her up, and she was well. Huh? It's wonderful when he works like that, doesn't he? You know, we see something like that happen, and it's just wonderful to see that. But she is healed and goes about serving the others. Now, that's always a good thing, isn't it? You know, thinking about that, every once in a while, I think about this dear lady that was here, Michelle Grant. You remember Michelle Grant? How she came one Sunday morning. I was preaching about the lost sheep. And at the end of the service, she said, "That's me. I'm the lost sheep." And she got saved and began serving the Lord, didn't she? You remember? Went to the hospital. She had cancer. And she wanted the other people to hear the Word of God. She got radios and everything and put them in the hospital and all these kind of things. And so many things like that. She got up and served the Lord. She ministered unto them. So, it's just another grateful service that she did. And then it talks about these others that same day, after the sun was going down, Sabbath was now over, they brought unto him all that were diseased, them that were possessed with demons, devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Well, you can imagine everything that's going on there. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases. You know what divers diseases are? That's when you go down in the water too fast. No, not really. Okay. I think it's like diverse. Diverse diseases. Maybe that's it. Anyhow, all different kinds of things that were going on. And he cast out many demons and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Again, they know who he is. People don't seem to know that. They think Jesus is somebody else. You know, he wasn't really anything special, but we know better, don't we? We know who he is, and he's still very much alive today. So Jesus did all these wonderful things, looking at his ministry here and how he carried out all these things and was able to help so many people. And yet they, when push came to shove, they rejected him, didn't they? What about today? How many people are really accepting Christ as their Savior and following him as Lord? Well, that's what he wants. As long as we're here, we're to serve the Lord as best we possibly can and to do his will. He's calling us, first of all, to salvation, calling us to service, and he's calling us to overcome the forces of evil. Jesus is able to do that. We were discussing in Sunday school this morning, all of it. Oh, come on. What's going on in this world? You know? And it seems like people are just going their own way. And Jesus is there, ready to help. So we need to work and pray and seek to get out the message that Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Lord. And not be distracted, not to be confused, not to think, oh, well, you know, something else. He is our Lord and Savior. So we can praise his holy name for all that he is. Just give yourself to him. If you haven't already, wherever you are in life, just turn it over to the Lord, and he is able to help us, whatever our situation might be. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your holy word to our hearts today as we look at the life of Jesus and what he did when he was here on earth. We know he's still here. He's in the life of his people. And we pray that we would be faithful, that we would be true, that we would yield ourselves to him completely and be the kind of Christians that we ought to be, following your will and doing that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Thank you so much for all that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.